You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. I'm very pleased to say we have with us Kevin Freeman for our weekly visit with the senior fellow on global economic warfare for the Center for Security Policy. He is the founder and the driving force behind a terrific online resource, globaleconomicwarfare.com, and the author of two must-read, best-selling books. The first is Secret Weapon, How Economic Terrorism Brought Down the U.S. Stock Market and Why It Can Happen Again, and Game Plan, How to Protect Yourself from the Coming Cyber Economic Attack. And we want to talk to him a bit about cyber and cyber economic attacks, but first let me do a proper welcome. Kevin, it's so good to have you back. Welcome.
Thank you, Frank.
I did want to just pick up on something we were discussing a moment ago with Rowan Scarborough, Kevin, just to get your sense of the lay of the land with respect to these indictments and what you make of them.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, hidden in the indictments are things like Paul Manafort misled the bankers that were loaning him money, and the indictments all seem very surface and away from the whole Russian collusion narrative. I suppose that's what you do when you're trying to ensnare someone, that you get them on something you can get solidly, and then you try and twist it to where you can get at the present. But from my first read, it looked like these were all activities that were away from the Russian collusion story and really not directly applied. So I suppose they're going to use prosecutorial pressure to get where they want to go.
Well, of course, the guy who copped a plea, George Papadopoulos, is a little closer to the campaign on this account of Russian involvement. But I think you're right, as we talked about with Rowan, there's a lot of shoes yet to drop on this front, to say nothing of the exploration of other and arguably much more ominous instances of collusion with the Russians to the detriment of the national security. Kevin, tell me what you make of President Trump and the visit he's likely to pay to China at a most interesting time, specifically in the aftermath of Xi Jinping's consolidation of power, but with a certain amount of economic turmoil taking place in the People's Republic.
Well, there's no question. There's the economic turmoil. The Manufacturing Purchases Managers Index that was released slipped again in October. We're seeing a slowing in China, and that's having direct repercussions. We had a bond default by Dandong Port Company. They failed to pay part of their note back just yesterday. And so we're beginning to see all of this debt that's built up in China. They've built their miracle of growth on debt. And it's beginning to slow. So they are becoming, I would think, a little more desperate economically. And so the timing is, it could be very good for the president, as we just had a 3% plus, 3.1% economic growth rate happening. So it will be very interesting. These are good times to address these issues.
Well, these issues, and of course, the issue that I think is overarching for the president, and that is inducing the Chinese to see it as no longer in their interest to prop up the regime of the latest Kim dictator, Kim Jong-un, in North Korea. Do you see any sign that there may be progress on that front, Kevin Freeman?
We certainly are positioned to do it because the Chinese economy has slowed. They have not reduced their exports to North Korea, but there is evidence that President Xi is frustrated with North Korea and how they've reacted. And then we see the collapse in the mountain where 200 people were killed because of their nuclear testing. So hopefully the timing is good, and hopefully the president can make progress and say that it's not in China's interest. And if you want to be a part of the global economic community, you have to withdraw support from North Korea.
Indeed. And by so doing, hopefully bring about the one solution to this problem that seems to me is remotely possible at the moment, and that is regime change instigated by the Chinese. And we'll be watching that closely, as I know will you. Hey, Kevin, speaking of cyber economic attack, there was an interesting report just the other day about the people who are said to have been responsible for hacking in our elections last year are at it again, apparently using, of all things, some cyber warfare conference called PSYCON in Washington, D.C., which will gather a large number of people involved in trying to protect the United States and the West more generally against cyber attacks. And they apparently turned it into an opportunity to actually do some cyber attacking against these defenders. Talk a little bit about that and again, how acute our problems are in this space, Kevin.
It points out multiple problems in this space. One is the Russians are busily watching every conference that we have. They're in Washington. They're watching people go in and out of buildings. They have a spy network. They're watching the email traffic. And what they did here is they took an email that was legitimate for PSYCON, which is a big international cyber conference that we have, and they spoofed that email with a Word document that had the exact everything, logo and everything else looked identical, but hidden in that as Microsoft Word document was a macro that enabled them to install software on the computer, malicious software that would allow them to take over the computer. And the people that perpetrated this, it appears to be Fancy Bear, which is the same group of Russians that have attacked and hacked multiple other things, including possibly they're the ones blamed for the DNC hack and so forth. So it's a very sophisticated hacking group. They were targeting high-end officials and people attending this conference. The very people that should be defending us from cyber attacks were being the ones compromised, which is the same inside the wire argument that I've been making in regard to Kaspersky and others, that they're looking at our security and they're trying to exploit our security to gain a foothold.
It just boggles the mind that we allowed any government entity to utilize Kaspersky software, knowing their associations with the Kremlin and the likelihood that they would be used for, economic and cyber warfare against us. Kevin, we participated in a conference last week of a different kind, the Asymmetric Threat Conference. And while the rules of the conference preclude direct attribution, I'd be very interested in your takeaway about the emphasis placed by a number of senior military officers and others on some of these asymmetric threats, including, not least, cyber attack.
Well, it was an amazing conference, and I appreciate you're the one that got the invitation for me. And Center for Security Policy was a co-sponsor of the event. And on the panels that sat before us, you were one of the moderators, but the various panels, I counted 36 stars on the shoulders of admirals and generals. And one conclusion, well, I took away a number of conclusions. The first one was we're already in a war. It's not a declared war. It's not a normal war, but we're in a war now. And the second conclusion I took away, it's basically an economic war. Whether it's economic to destroy our economy so that we can't field a strong fighting force, we can't modernize our air force, we can't modernize our navy, we can't keep the number of ships at sea that we need or should have. It's a cyber war in that quantum computing and artificial intelligence are all a big part. And they talked about things being inside the wire like Kaspersky Labs and the DJI drones from China and how those are potentially compromised. And they said it's not a messaging problem, it's a reality problem. And they said, how can we ever win if we never admit that the bad guys are the bad guys?
Well, there's a key point at the very beginning. Very, very key point. And an excellent summary, Kevin Freeman, of the Asymmetric Threat Symposium. There will be a summary of that conference for those of you who missed it available shortly. And Kevin, I appreciated very much you being there as it was a pleasure to be a co-sponsor of it. Myself. Thank you so much for joining us today, Kevin, and we'll look forward to talking with you again next week. Matt Brodsky joins us next. We'll talk about the Iran deal and the hegemony of the Middle East that Iran now increasingly is exercising, in part as a result of it. That and more straight ahead.